Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit arrcled.com.
Quick question for you. What makes you feel more invigorated, less stressed, and more in control of your body? The answer, more energy. Specifically, more quantum energy, because our bodies are quantum systems. Leela Quantum Tech has figured out a way to harness quantum energy so you can reach a state of vibrancy that you've probably never felt. Dozens of studies show that Leela Q's products neutralize the effects of harmful EMFs around us and even release positive energy that can improve your blood flow, optimize your heart rate, and other benefits. Leela Q has some heavy science backing it up. A recent study looked at people who use Leela Q for just 10 minutes. The study used a special blood illumination technique called dark field microscopy, and it showed significant protective and improvement effects on blood flow. So take a quantum leap into higher vibration at LeelaQ.com/Dave and claim your exclusive 10% discount.
Today's cool fact of the day is about music. The song Coconut, you know the one, she put the lime in the coconut, she drank them both up, has only one chord in the entire song. It's the only song without any chord changes that reached the Billboard Hot 100 chart. In fact, it reached number 8 in 1972. The problem is that even though the song is really simple, it misrepresents the coconut entirely. We found that coconuts are wildly beneficial to your health. The coconut water from a fresh coconut, not the bottled stuff necessarily, has naturally sterile electrolytes in it, which are good for feeding your pH and your muscle function. There's a little bit of fructose, which I'm not a fan of, but not that much. Coconuts also have a high fiber content, which can definitely make you feel full. Regular coconut oil is rich in lauric acid, and lauric acid is one of the fats that you want to have in your body. However, the real amazing stuff in coconuts comes from the medium chain triglycerides that make up 62% of the oil in a coconut. The only problem is that to eat enough coconut oil or enough coconuts to get the real benefits that come from those medium chain triglycerides, you need to eat as much as 18 times more coconut oil to get the full benefits of brain octane oil. So simple songs about coconuts are not telling us about all the different types of fatty acids in coconut. And if I wrote that song, it would be a biohacking song about the different uses and types and rarities of different facets of coconut oil, because when you're on upgraded MCT or brain octane, everything sounds better.
Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat Cold Tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500.
Hey everyone, it's Dave Asprey with Bulletproof Executive Radio. And today we've got JJ Virgin, a friend and a 30-week straight New York Times best-selling author with The Virgin Diet on the show. JJ, welcome. Happy to have you
here. Thank you. I'm a big fan. fueled by Bulletproof.
Thank you. I love that. I know that you're a fan of Bulletproof coffee. And I'm a fan of the things that you've written as well, where you really pay attention to food quality and food sensitivities and things like that. And thought it would be really cool this episode if I got a chance to ask you about the Virgin Diet instead of talking incessantly about the Bulletproof Diet. I think your book is definitely worth a read and that people ought to know about what you've been doing. Not that most of them don't already, given your massive media footprint and the fact that you're all over the place in the media. You got there after, what, about 25 years working in holistic nutrition and functional medicine and all these celebrity people and whatnot. So kind of give me the JJ story. Yeah. Like, how did you get to be such a diet expert?
You know, I'm a woman. We're all diet experts. No, seriously, I at age 12, I was a very athletic, and I was actually in ballet, I was on point ballet, which is stupid as a 6 foot tall woman. But because of that, I got very into nutrition and really how to use nutrition to optimize. I was running track and doing point ballet and working out with the football team. So it was everything I could do with nutrition, because it's pretty clear that exercise without nutrition is, like, you know, not going to get you anywhere. And when you put the two together, it's such an amplification. I started paying my way through graduate school as a personal trainer. And in graduate school, I was falling prey, I admit it, to, okay, the way you lose weight is you have to eat less and exercise more. So I was diligently, my poor first clients, my apologies to you. I am so sorry. But I was just doing what I was told for once in my life. And so, I mean, we were taught, hey, they've got to eat less, they've got to exercise more, you got to create this caloric deficit. And so I'm doing that. And most of my clients were 45 to 55 year old women. These are the women that are going to struggle the most because their hormones are starting to go wacky, you know, they're starting to raise their cortisol. So now their insulin's up, just the worst hormonal milieu for losing weight. So clearly making them over exercise and then eat less is the single worst thing I could have done. And it wasn't working. So, Dave, I like to say I'm not insane. I sat there and I went, all right, it's not working. So I went back to UCLA, is where I got my undergrad, and I went into the biomed stacks and I started going, let's find out why. And I thought, why is all the stuff I'm being taught in school not what is in the literature from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? And, you know, we're taught when we do graduate work to disregard, like, you got to have current studies. I'm like, why did our body change? Like, seriously, if we found out that 30 years ago that the Eastern Europeans had it nailed with the right type of exercise, I mean, that was when it was clear to me. I'm like, why are we doing all this long endurance training? It's so clearly not the way to go.
Right.
So I started putting all this stuff together. And honestly, way back then, to say that calories really don't count, I mean, they count, but where they come from counts so much more, and that you shouldn't be doing endurance training. I'm surprised I wasn't, like, stoned to death, really, you know, because these were, like, everything was about aerobics and eating fat-free. And yeah. I did all those things at the time. I mean, and I was always overweight and always broken out and just a mess. But I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to crack this code. And it took me years. And along the way, I started teaching this course to doctors called Overcoming Weight Loss Resistance. And it looked at sex hormones and insulin, leptin, and thyroid, and all the different GI issues and toxicity. And, you know, it really occurred to me that food was the big needle mover. You had to start with food first. And how do we make this simple? Because the course was so hard that the doctors kept coming back. Like, I'd have people go, this is the fifth time I've come through it. And I'm like, well, if you can't get it five times through, then how are you going to apply it to your patients, right? Like, how do we do this to simplify it down, drill it down so you can get some fast results and get in the game? And that's really where this all came from.
So JJ, a lot of people are driving right now, listening to Bulletproof Executive Radio on their commute. It's a standard thing twice a week. So they can't see your video, but is it actually true that Michelle Obama is jealous of your arms?
That is so funny.
I mean, but seriously, like, you're ripped. Like, you look awesome, and it's
not
amazing.
Not bad for a 50-year-old. It's funny. So now I'm a 50-year-old with a total knee replacement from that point ballet when I was a teenager, because some snarky person on Facebook said, well, maybe if you didn't exercise so much. And I went, I blew out my knee when I was 17 and I held it together for 33 years. And then finally I was like, this is ridiculous. But, you know, it's interesting because people will look at me and they go, you must spend forever in the gym. I go, no, really, actually, I probably spend less time in the gym than you guys are commuting right now. But it's all about high intensity interval training and then the right nutrients to do so. Hey, by the way, I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
As I was healing from my knee surgery, which I had a total knee replacement. I found out 10 minutes before I had it that I was going to have it. I thought I was going to have a partial. Yeah. And which is the best time to find out, by the way. So then I start hammering supplements. The minute I'm in my own room and the nurse walks out, it's like, give me my bag.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And I have all this stuff with me. So I used your glutathione. I used the upgraded collagen. I mean, I had this thing nailed. The only upsetting thing was that no one could bring me bulletproof in the hospital. I'm like, where the hell's the coffee? Get me out of here. Get me home. But I used a walker for 2 minutes. I never used it again. I was back at the gym. I mean, I started moving it that day. I was back at the gym 10 days later doing lunges and squats and step ups and plies and everything.
Wow.
And in high shoes 2 weeks later. So
you were in high shoes at age 50, 2 weeks after knee surgery. You're pushing like NFL recovery limits after knee surgery. No joke. Like,
you know, I was just like, okay, well, I trained for the surgery and then I had, I mean, the nutrient hit that I took after surgery, I was like, all right, let's go. And it's funny because someone's like, gosh, you know, you're supposed to get so catabolic after surgery. You didn't lose the thing. I go, no, I knew, I know what I'm doing.
You planned ahead, right?
I planned ahead, yes.
did you use L-glutamine as well?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Post-surgery or post-injury, you just have to pound that stuff. How much did you take?
I'm at like 10 grams is my favorite dose for people, is 3 heaping teaspoons or a big tablespoon. I used vitamin C, phosphatidylserine. I used a special amino acid blend. I used this stuff I hate from Donna Gates, Cocobiotic, but I was like, they trash your gut. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna hammer myself back with probiotics and prebiotics and fermented foods. So lots of protein. Lots of fish oil. I went straight high dose fish oil. So, I mean, it just, you know, my supplement big thing, all I couldn't even keep it on the table next to my bed. I had a big bag next to the bed, next to the table with everything, and then multiple shakes throughout the day. But yeah, it's been 4 weeks now, and I just recorded videos for 10 hours the other day.
Most people who are 50 who undergo a joint replacement surgery have brain fog, like serious brain fog, for months afterwards. And you're back to your normal. And JJ, you are actually a biohacker. I mean, that you just did it.
I was working that night. So finally, so this is the sad part. I brought in my partner into the pre-op because I wanted to get all the stuff done before surgery. I knew we'd have like 30 minutes to an hour. I'm like, why waste time? So we're like working all this stuff. They're trying to give me things to like, and we're working. And then I get out of surgery. Now I want to keep doing this, but I can't remember, you know, because I've just come out of anesthesia. But I'm hitting myself with GPC immediately. I hit myself with GPC right pre-surgery
When you say GPC, just for people listening, that's glycerol phosphatidylcholine.
Glycerol phosphatidylcholine. I did that with my son who, you know, was left for dead in the street and basically died. And now he's running, you know, he'll never walk. And he's sprinting down the soccer fields. His last two surgeries, we just hammered him with GPC right before surgery. He woke up, he's like, let's go home.
Right. And you're doing this, and GPC is essentially something that makes acetylcholine, the neurotransmitter, and it's something that helps you create myelin, the insulated lining of your nerves. And when you're injured, your requirements for this go up dramatically. How much of this are you taking? I'm sure some people listening to this are like, I'm going to have surgery. What do I do?
Well, I would tell people kind of a maintenance dose of GPC is 2,000 mics a day. I do pre-surgery. I will do it 3 times a day, 2,000 micrograms. And I will do it. I mean, I just bring it and I do it right before surgery. And then I have my little stash of stuff. So the minute people leave the room, you know, like, bring the bag. So I had all sorts of stuff with me that night next to my bed. So the nurses go in and out and I've got all my things. But it makes a big difference because it protects your brain from anesthesia. And, you know, that's the thing that I can't lose my brain right now forever. But I mean, especially right now, I've like got a book deadline, right?
Did you do any of the smart drugs like paracetam or aniracetam before or after surgery?
Mm-mm.
So this is another trick that should you ever have to go under the knife again, and other people listening might be interested in. It turns out that paracetam or aniracetam protects your brain from low oxygen states. And about 5% of people get a microstroke during general anesthesia. So little bits of your brain just don't work the way they did before. But if you're on a paracetam or aniracetam, it'll let your brain last much longer without oxygen. It's
that
protective.
Should be standard course. I mean, you look at people that come out of especially like all the different heart surgeries, and they're trashed for months.
Yeah.
And there's no reason for any of this to happen. You know, I mean, literally, I had the surgery at midnight that night. I was up working in my hotel room. It felt like a hotel. It was actually a very nice place. And I mean, because I had a book edits due. So, and I was fine. You know, I mean, and it can be that way. And
So you've engineered some pretty massive resilience there. Most people get, you know, huge cortisol problems, adrenal issues. You know, it's a big hit. Were you taking adrenal hormone?
Well, I knew. Well, I had some at home to take, but I can feel mine to know if I need it.
Oh,
I'm so dialed in with my, I've trashed my adrenals so many times. I now know just what it feels like. I can draw my rhythm out. And it's just like when my son got hit and he was in the ICU, I had someone cruise in and bring me just the bag of adrenal supplements. But I just did a ton of phosphatidylserine and vitamin C and fish oil, and I was fine. I felt it because I had it at home if I needed it. And I was like, I don't need it. I'm totally cool.
And you
felt great.
You weren't concerned about bleeding because fish oil makes your blood more thin, and they advise
you
not to take it.
By the way, it doesn't. I got in such a big argument with them. Grant just had two surgeries on 20 grams of fish oil a day. So when my son was hit by a car, he was subject of a hit and run, for people who don't know the story. And he was left for dead in the street at 17. And he was 16 at the time. The doctor at their local hospital said, just let him go.
Wow.
He'd be so brain damaged if he does wake up. He'll probably not wake up. But if you took him anywhere else, he'd die on the way. Blah, blah. I'm just, you know, Mr. Doom and Gloom. But we started him on the 20 grams of fish oil. And in fact, CNN, Sanjay Gupta's doing a story on this. Because,
oh, lovely.
Yeah, isn't this great? This and progesterone. And they wouldn't let me do it at the first hospital because they go, he's going to bleed. Well, I started working with Barry Sears.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Sears says, there's not one study to show that fish oil increases bleeding, increases pro time. And we actually, I kept bringing him up behind their backs at the first hospital. I got him up to 7 grams, no change, because we were monitoring his pro time, zero, his IRTs, no change whatsoever. His blood wasn't any thinner. And so I've stopped being worried about that. He was at the other hospital on 20 grams doing surgeries, no problem. So that is an urban legend that needs to die. And in fact, the guy, my anesthesiologist, this thing goes, okay, you're not on fish oils, are you? I'm like, because it's not even worth it. You know, it's like, it's just the urban legend that won't die. And there really is nothing out there to substantiate it. Nothing.
Wow. That's actually news. I did not know. I know that low dose fish oil is not a big deal during surgery, but I didn't realize that you could do 20 grams without even creating more inflammation, but it does have a metabolic lowering effect for a short period of time. And maybe that's what you want right in the middle of a surgery, is to not have your inflammatory responses going crazy.
So all I know now, we're at a point where we have to monitor. We're now monitoring fatty acids because Grant was on it for so long. Yeah. But, you know, brains take a long time to heal when you bang against the ground going 40 miles an hour. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't even expect that we'd talk about rapid recovery from surgery, but I never know what we'll talk about, JJ, because you're a fountain of knowledge. All right. Let's go into the Virgin Diet a little bit, because, of course, this is your book. Tell me about what you focus on with calories, carbs, fat grams, food intolerance.
Okay.
Like what's
calories.
The deal? Give me the,
God, see, if you're eating right, you don't have to think about calories because you won't be hungry and craving and all trashed. You know, the reason people have to count calories is because they're eating these drug foods like gluten and dairy and sugar. And so they're hungry all the time and craving them, right?
Yep.
So the whole basis of the Virgin Diet, I mean, my whole thing is your body's not a bank account, it's a chemistry lab, and that you must consider the hormonal messages, the chemical messages of everything that you eat, think, and do, whether it's the way you exercise, your stress, your sleep, your food. And it all starts with your fork. I mean, what you put at the end of your fork is your fastest needle mover. So It came, this all happened. I was doing this testing in doctors' offices, food sensitivity testing. And we were doing it really because we noticed that when we tested people, they were more compliant on their diet. So I was just trying to get them to stay on the freaking diet. So the cool thing was we test them and they always would show up with a dairy problem. They'd always show up with a gluten problem. I hate soy, so they couldn't have soy anyway. And I got on such a soapbox about it. They were like, all right, no soy. So the same foods always showed up. And what was interesting is they'd come into the office and they'd be bloated and they'd be tired and their joints would hurt and their skin looked like crap and they were felt old and looked old and they were moody and they couldn't think straight. And that's what the problems were. That's what they were complaining about. Most of them were like, forget even losing weight at this point. I give up. But they were those issues. And if you look at why most people go to the doctor, it's because they're tired or they hurt, right? And so we would do the test. The same foods always showed up. We'd pull the foods out. The symptoms would go away like in a matter of days. And after a couple years, I wish I could say, so after a couple of weeks, but after a couple of years, I go, maybe we don't need to test. And also we weren't able to do one test because we had to look at gluten both from a delayed food sensitivity way, an immune way, but also we had to look at it through genetics, and really you should look at it through hormones. And so when you look at different foods, you've got to think of the intolerance that could be created both through your immune system, whether it's immediate or delayed, which is far more common, through your hormonal system, and through your genetics. And there's not one test. I mean, the test. And I don't believe even if we could put all the tests we know now together, we have all the answers on it. Because then, and then we have all that weird extraneous crap like GMOs and weird colorings and stuff.
You don't know what's in your food when you go to a restaurant anyway, right?
No, it's a total crapshoot. I mean, how scary is that? It's like, what's really in that chicken? You know, so chicken's kind of one of the scariest ones going at this point.
I won't eat that stuff.
You know, you're so much better off with grass-finished beef than chicken. I mean, it's like, try to find some chicken that hasn't been fed GMO corn and soy. Good freaking luck on that one. So anyway, I noticed that. So I thought, you know, I'm really all about messages that can change the most people in the shortest amount of time. You know, one of the things I see in functional medicine, the kind of world I like to play in, is that people like to take on the really complicated people and do all these like intense little tweaking. I'm like, well, what if I could put you on something that's going to make a big change in a matter of days and, you know, you're going to feel 80 to 90% better. Let's do that. So, you know, so what the Virgin Diet is you drop these seven foods: gluten, dairy, eggs, soy, corn, peanuts, sugar and artificial sweeteners, whole nother story. You pull them out. Sugar, of course, you're not going to pull out 100% because some of the foods naturally have sugar, but you're not eating high sugar impact foods. You pull them out for 3 weeks because you got to let your immune system cool off. You're letting your hormones come back in balance. And during those first couple days, you have crazy cravings for the foods that are hurting you, which is such great information. And that's how I reframe it. I go, if you're craving that cheese, good, because that means you're going to have amazing results, right? Yeah. So you got to give people a reframe. It's like how we're raising our kids. You know, your kid, I remember the first time my kid got hurt and was bleeding, and I'm like, ah, and the kid's like, ah, and I went, well, that was stupid. So, you know, now your kid gets hurt, and you're like, well, especially now after what happened with Grant, you know, they come home and they're bleeding. I'm like, big deal, you know, you're walking and talking, it's fine. Get over it. So, you know, it's, you got to teach people how, what they should expect. But the other thing is, if I just told people, hey, we're going to pull these seven foods out, good luck, go deal with it. You know, but what I do instead is I give them easy swaps. So if they're pulling out cow's milk, they're going to put in coconut milk. If they're pulling out pasta, they do quinoa pasta, or better yet, spaghetti squash. So we just give them simple swaps that they can do so that they just don't have to think about it and they don't have a vacuum. Because I always found that if you tell people, hey, you can't have this, they're going to put something worse in its place, right? So we do those swaps. We do it for 3 weeks. I have them do a food intolerance assessment at the beginning on all those symptoms I talked about. And then at the end of 3 weeks, and this I think is what is so powerful, it's the ability for you to use your body as a chemistry lab and connect the dots between what you're eating and how you feel and what you weigh. And that's such a different conversation than, oh, I was bad yesterday. I ate a cupcake. You know, that just drives me crazy because it's like, this is not a bad or good. This is, did this help you or hurt you? And when you all of a sudden now you eat the pizza or the muffin or, and you go, you know what? My joints are killing me when I do this. Then it's a different conversation. Then you're like, no, hell no, I'm not having that. that made my fingers swell. That made my knee hurt. That made my face break out. So then you know which foods really work for you, because these symptoms are so low grade and they've also become so accepted and acceptable. You know, for some reason, I mean, go to the store and it's like there's a gazillion headache medications. Yeah. There's tons of 5-hour energy. There's all of these things for diarrhea and constipation and gas and bloating. I'm like, what if it's just the food you're eating and you don't really need all that crap, right? And you could change it in a matter of days.
So you mentioned a few of the things that I track in myself. You mentioned joint pain, but you also mentioned like knee versus fingers hurting and acne and rashes. All those things are signs that something's off in your biology.
Right.
And okay, what's the difference between knee pain in a knee joint and finger pain in a finger joint? Like, does that tell you something different?
Well, you know, it's interesting for me because, you know, I've had this, like, I should have had a full knee replacement probably 20 years ago. So I've lived with like toothache pain in my knee for so long, but it was really pretty low grade because I did all these things. I probably like should have stopped doing all, you know, it's like I did so many things to make it okay that I lived with it. They're like, how the hell are you walking? I go, well, I do this and this and this. So for me, it's the difference between, say, something where you're going to have more typical osteoarthritis, like knee point,
right,
knee joint pain. It's interesting because my fingers never are swollen, but if I eat gluten, I'm like, what the heck is that? You know, and yeah, it's, I'm not, I don't have arthritis in my fingers.
Right.
That's just a wacky thing that shouldn't happen at all. You know, it's more, you expect it more in joints where you know that you've done some trashing over the years, you know, and you've worn some things away, but it's not like I've overwritten, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even like to write. So, oops, don't say anything about that. I'm a father. I speak it.
It's really funny, but different parts of the body hurt from different foods. Like I can tell you what a potato will do to me versus what gluten will do versus even like specific types of mold because I'm extra sensitive to it.
Yeah, so like the nightshades would hit your arthritic joints. And
yes,
gluten, I find, again, for a lot of people's fingers. I'm not sure why. Man, dairy just destroys my skin. Destroys it.
Yeah. It's especially cheese, right?
Especially cheese.
You can spot a cheese eater. Just look at the skin on their face.
You're like, ew. Can't you? I'm like, you're a cheese eater. Yeah, everyone's going to... I feel like we should have a cheese t-shirt of that one, you know? That's hilarious.
Well,
so yeah, it is. It's all about connecting those dots and these symptoms that we have that people never think. They're like, that's just normal. I'm getting older. La, 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 la. It's like, no, it's not. It's not normal. No. Anything. And you made such an important point. Our body has no way to send us an email, right?
Yeah.
So like we shouldn't be getting sick. You shouldn't have low energy. You shouldn't be gassy and bloated. And then it's like, this is not supposed to happen. So if it's happening, there's a reason. Figure it
Shocking.
Out.
Shocking. That whole there's a reason is liberating. I think a lot of people still kind of, they just sort of think, oh, it's just happening. But
it's magic.
You're in control of all of the stuff. And when you figure out what all of the different variables are, you kind of think it's big. But your diet does a great job of saying, well, let's pick the most likely candidates. And honestly, we think very similarly that way. But there's a question I've wanted to ask you on camera. And what's up with no eggs? You allow nuts,
okay,
which are common triggers, but you say no eggs. Like egg yolks are like basically,
what the hell?
They're so good.
Okay. So here's the thing. This was all because I was doing all this testing.
Yeah.
So I was doing all, and so I was doing something called IgG testing for the audience, delayed food sensitivity testing. And it really is a marker of how healthy your small intestinal wall is. It should be semi-permeable, but under stress, gluten, fructose, medications, GMO foods, toxins, the tight junctions start to loosen, and then food gets out where it shouldn't be, and your body goes, what the hell, and launches immune attack and creates immune complexes that start to create all those symptoms.
Yeah.
So what I discovered in doing this testing is I rarely ever saw nuts or citrus or berries. The ones you hear of as the common allergenic triggers, hardly ever saw them. Maybe somewhere in less than 5%. The top two were dairy and eggs, hands down.
Ahead of wheat?
Now, gluten is a different way.
Okay.
Remember, you would look at wheat and IgG, and ahead of wheat there.
Okay.
But gluten you look at through transglutaminase, some other different tests. So this was really, it was tracking straight wheat, but eggs and dairy were top, 70% or more of the people. And then corn, peanuts, soy, wheat.
Now, okay.
So, I mean, it was so clear. And so I hated it because eggs to me are nature's perfect food. They are like perfection. Not now. We have completely effed up our eggs. But if you can get pastured eggs, they're perfect. Here's what I see with a lot of people. See, we're eating, you know, you are what you eat and you are what you eat eight. So if you're now eating these factory chickens shoved in those pens, jacked up with hormones, fed GMO corn and soy, and you're eating the yolk, which is going to concentrate all that crap, which the yolk is the best part of the egg. Yep. You and I agree on this. And it's funny because people eat, I just want the protein. Well, you absorb more of the protein from the egg if you eat the yolk with the white. There you go. You'll excrete more nitrogen if you just do the whites. So I'm all for eggs, but first off, you got to let your whole body, you got to let your immune system cool off from those crappy eggs you were eating. And also, I think part of the problem was we've been, you know, a lot of us were vaccinated, and we were vaccinated with vaccines cured with egg protein. So we're reactive there. But I found with most people that over time, when they heal their gut, glutamine being key there, in a month, 3 months, and 6 months, they can bring back in high-quality pastured eggs. It took me 6 months to be able to bring eggs back in. The first time I took eggs back in, I did it in a very stupid way. Like when you rechallenge these foods, you do one at a time. You do it in a very safe environment. You don't do it in Las Vegas, right? So I rechallenge eggs not thinking. I had this little piece of like some sushi sashimi thing. It had a little sauce. It was mayonnaise sauce. I mean, and I'm talking, it wasn't even it was like a pinky. It was like not a thimble. I mean, it was teensy. That's the thing with food intolerances. Moderation is a myth. It's the little bit that creates this wildfire of issues. And once you've let your immune system cool off, it is so clear when you rechallenge, you're like, oh, that makes this happen. And you know, some things that may not be an issue, but you'll be very clear on which are and which aren't.
So are you back on eggs now?
Yes, now I can eat eggs. It is hard to find good pastured ones out here. We have Whole Foods coming. Hurry up, Whole Foods. So I kind of have to make my little schlep on them. But that's the thing. It's like, I think for a lot of people, they're out and they're like, oh, this is good. It's cheap. But I'm like, you're getting cheap crap eggs. Don't eat, you know, eat the pastured ones.
It's interesting talking about eggs. I definitely recommend eggs for people as long as they're not sensitive and use IgG is the gold standard, or you can use even the little FoodSense iPhone app that'll tell you if your heart rate goes up dramatically when you eat eggs, then you shouldn't eat eggs. In my case, I do IgG panels every couple of years just to see if I've got something new. And I found out about 9 months ago that my 3 month zero carbohydrate experiment, like trying to eat like an Eskimo, gave me a bunch of new food allergies, including.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What a trip. What'd you get?
Eggs and chicken and almonds and honey. And sweet potatoes. Like several of those are super bulletproof foods. And what do you know? It's because I had so few carbs. I was eating one serving of broccoli a day, like trying to do just fat and meat like an Eskimo. And what happened there is I didn't have enough mucus lining of my stomach to actually protect the junctions there the way it should. So I also got really dry eyes, dry sinuses, and that whole thing that you don't need any carbohydrates ever, that actually messed me up. So I've been scrupulously avoiding eggs. And I had a bite of sushi that had mayonnaise in that I didn't know about. And sure enough, I get like a rash around my mouth.
Isn't it a trip? I see a lot of skin, stuff with eggs. If you've got eczema, psoriasis, definitely do an egg-free trial. I will tell you too, I've tried to do total no carb or extreme low carb. I can't do it.
Especially for women, I think it's harmful. You need a baseline amount both for fermentation in the gut. And also because it might be possible to make bare minimum carbohydrates out of protein. It's not metabolically good for you to do that.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. It's so inefficient. And for women, we need our protein. So it's definitely one that I think is critical. And you mentioned an important one. It does feed the good bacteria in the gut. And that is, to me, the most exciting area of all this stuff. It's the book I'd love to write, but I'm like, I can't see the New York Times bestseller, The Virgin Microbiota, you know? It's like, it's not going to happen. So you know, it is such a key important thing, and good carbohydrates are going to feed the good gut bacteria, and a lot of them act as prebiotics and feed the good gut bacteria, and you're not going to be getting that from, you know, your chicken. So there you have it.
Are you up to speed on the whole resistant starch debate about whether you should be eating non-digestible starch versus just vegetables?
Okay. What do you think? I'd love to hear what you think on it.
Well, I'm pretty open-minded. I'm a biohacker, so I went out after I'd read some of the research that Richard Nicolai had posted on resistant starch. I'm highly skeptical because I think that it depends on what's growing in your gut, whether you want to feed it.
Yeah, and I've exactly. Feed the bad guys too, you know?
Yeah, one of the more famous guys there has some kind of gut bacteria, not really gut bacteria, it's in... from avalanches or from icebergs or something, some strange kind of bacteria. It's like, oh, look, I have a lot of this. Like, I'm not sure that's good.
Huh. And
histamine-forming bacteria is a major issue. So what did I do? I went out and I bought some potato starch, which causes, funny enough, nightshade problems because I know I'm nightshade sensitive. Ditch that. Plantain starch. My children, for the first time ever, learned that daddy can fart, and it's awful, and it clears the room. because that is not a problem on the Bulletproof diet or on the Virgin diet, as far as I can tell. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I can stick with it for a while. And then I got hives. And I'm like, you know what?
It's, I don't think this is working.
No, it's
not. It just
not working.
Made me bloat. I bought the whatever there's, you know, that product.
The corn just, ones?
I don't know what it is. One of my buddies
your products.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I tried it for a couple of days. I'm going, I'm bloated. That's
wow.
it.
See, you can doesn't bloat me at all.
Totally bloats me. So I'm like, you know, like, no way.
I don't know if you can see my arm in your video there, but like, I think I actually put on a little bit more muscle mass from the
UK
stuff.
We're arm wrestling when I see you. That's
I what?
It.
Oh,
we're arm
you'll take me down,
yeah,
JJ.
I'm wrestling. I mean, that's it. I've issued a challenge. The Eskimo diet versus the Virgin diet.
Exactly. And so I think there might be something to the UCAN stuff because you can stay in ketosis when you're on it. This is a very specific engineered kind of resistant starch, different than what a lot of people are talking about. So whenever I get someone who really knows what they're talking about on the podcast, I like to ask that question because
I'm on the skeptical side. I played around with it and I'm like, mm-hmm. I just didn't feel good on it. So then I ditched it. So I didn't go for it.
I think I'm in that same camp. I gave it a really fair shot and my kids are still saying that was gross. They're 4 and 6. So it was also
funny.
But
if they're boys, like I was going to say, my kids would have been so impressed. You know, mommy, you did that?
That's hilarious. All right. What about intermittent fasting in women? Because...
I'm not a fan of intermittent fasting in women.
Okay, good. Me either. And I wrote about this last year, and it was a really popular post. I said, you know, intermittent fasting, dangerous for women, or something like that.
Think back to caveman times. Like, of course, men, you guys are supposed to be able to just hang with bad stuff going on and be able to take care of us and go out and, you know, kill tigers and lions. But we are supposed to be back there with our food, nursing and taking care of kids and having steady food supply. That's it. We have got a much more intricate hormonal system.
Yeah.
And when you miss meals, it trashes your adrenals. That's it. And the research shows it. It shows infertility, adrenal problems, you know, gaining weight, not losing it. Like, and so this whole thing when they say, so skip breakfast. I mean, first of all, if you're going to skip a meal, don't skip breakfast. Skip dinner, you know.
You know, my first whole book is about, you know, women's fertility and pregnancy and all that. And I think skipping meals for women, unless they're at a point in life where they have a ton of time and energy for recovery, it does. Yeah. It's a nice hormetic stressor, just like an intense workout to skip a morning meal. But to do it every day doesn't work. And that's one of the reasons that if you use fat in the morning – fat is what makes the hormone system work. And this is why the whole bulletproof approach to intermittent fasting says during the fast, you eat fat, but no sugar and no protein. So you get that autophagy.
And see, if I could have my bulletproof coffee, I could probably pull it off.
Right.
You know, because I'd be okay. But
and that's what I found with so many women clients and women on the blog is they're saying intermittent fasting. I tried it and I got really tired. My sleep went away. I didn't do so well. But then they add the fat back in and they do better.
Well, you have to tell the women that anyway, because they're still out there. And women, do not be fat phobic. I eat so much fat. You know, fat is the biggest part of my diet, as it should be. You know, it's like eat your clean, lean protein, eat your healthy fats, eat non-starchy vegetables. That's the focus. And then some really little bit of slow, low carbs, slow, low sugar impact carbs. And that's it. I mean, it's easy peasy.
Yep. And you sound like Tim Ferriss now.
I do. Am I channeling Tim?
You said slow carb and easy peasy. I'm pretty sure
Did you steal that from me, Tim? I've been in this longer than he has.
Fair point. And plus, I think you've got better arms than Tim Ferriss too, JJ. Is this true? I have no idea. I've never seen Tim's arms up close. All right. Let's talk about collagen. A lot of women like use collagen cream, and like you have like the most amazing skin. Like I'd swear you were like not 50. So what are you doing for your skin here? Are you like smearing collagen masks on, or are you eating it, or what's the deal?
So I take your upgraded collagen, by the way.
Oh, you're actually officially using it. I know I sent you some a while back to try, but okay.
When you sent it, I'm like, this is what I need for surgery. And then I'm like, well, why would I just take this for surgery? Duh. And then I also take this BioCell collagen because they sent me it. And I'm like, sure, why not? But I will tell you that is not what's done it for my skin. I think what's done it for my skin is I'm like a big sleep fan.
Yep.
So if I had to pick one thing, it's get rid of the food intolerances because they destroy your skin.
Yes.
They destroy your skin. You detoxify. Your skin's your major detoxifying organs. Food that doesn't work for you is toxic, and then your body has to deal with it. Make sure you're getting really good antioxidants in. I used that. By the way, that upgraded, that glutathione stuff is...
You have the new stuff, though, in the syringe, right?
Yes.
It's better than the old stuff.
But I mean, I'm like... I can do this. And then I'm slamming down Coco Biotic with it. I'm like, God, you know, this better work.
But it does, doesn't anyway. It?
Yes. So I would say, so for skin, I'm like the skin product major wacko aficionado. But in reality, the number one thing that changed my skin was getting dairy out.
Yeah. Except butter. You still eat butter.
Oh, I eat grass-fed ghee. Yeah. So I get dairy out, and then I eat lots of healthy fats. So that's huge.
Yeah.
I do a lot of, you know, a lot of plants, but a lot of non-starchy vegetables. I actually don't even eat fruit anymore. And then because I've been doing all the research on my sugar book, and I'm like, fruit is that? Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Fruit makes you fat, makes you age. On a fructose thing.
Yeah. So I'm really not glycating. I'm really trying to not glycate. So that's what you're seeing on my face. But I also do use from our buddy Dr. Suzanne Bennett. She's got these collagen masks from Korea, and called Purigenics. And I use those. I was going to use one last night just for you. I actually didn't. So this is me without the collagen mask. But I try to do those once or twice a week. I'm just not so good at that. I'm really much better about eating correctly. And I think that makes the biggest difference of all. And I believe you should have sun. I don't wear sunscreen. I do use mineral stuff on my face that probably blocks some of it, but I don't lay out in the sun, but I live in Palm Springs. And that's probably it, man. Those big things. And I use this. I have this crazy biochemist friend, and I will be honest with you, I don't know what's in it because he won't tell me, but I use this special spray on my face, whatever the heck it is. All I know is I used it on my knee for my knee surgery, and this scar, I'll show it to you when I see you.
Yeah.
Because scars are the new hot thing, by the way. Mm-hmm. Forget tattoos, scars are the new hot.
Oh, like ritualistic scarring stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe not. But my scar on my knee is so awesome, and you can hardly see it, and it's 4 weeks, and I believe it's the spray.
Are you taking serrapeptase as well?
No, I'm not taking that. I did natto.
Similar. Okay.
Yeah.
That's part of my recommendations for post-surgery to reduce scarring is you take massive doses of either natto or serrapeptase or both mixed.
Well, I did natto and bromelain. I started.
Okay, good. So you're on it.
Okay, good. I was like, oh, no.
No, it's a question. Do you want silkworms or like soy boogers? Neither one is very attractive in terms of where they come from. But they both do that same scar digestion thing. And I'm constantly amazed at how fast we can heal when we're given
It's incredible. Well, and I also did soft tissue work starting the next day.
How about lasers? Did you do any infrared light or laser?
I didn't. I'm going to do some laser on the scar if I need to, though I don't think I need to.
Do you want me to bring my laser with me when we meet in Tampa? All right, I'll bring you my medical grade laser.
Oh, and I also have been doing the Vibro. What's the thing called? Is it Vibroderm?
The Bulletproof Vibe, yeah. You're on
To me, it sounds like a vibrator.
Is that a bad thing?
Not at all. I just, it's like, I'm just kidding. I keep looking at it going, but how does it work? You know? It's so big. But the, God, people that can't see it, they're like, what are they talking about? But this is a large vibrating platform. And so, I mean, talk about a great thing to help you with knee recovering, proprioception.
Yeah.
So I've been using that as well. See, and the exciser. So, I mean, I've been like a fiend with
this. I did not realize that you were doing all these bulletproof things, JJ. Thank you.
Yes. I'm a bulletproof babe.
And we totally didn't.
You need that t-shirt. You need the bulletproof babe t-shirt.
Oh, my God. I'm taking a note on.
Marketing.
I'm taking a note on that one.
Thank you.
So people really should know that, like, we don't sit ahead of time going, ooh, let's talk about each other's products. No.
I am your best marketing person, I swear, everywhere I go. In fact, my entire team, as we get ready for our book launch, everyone is unlimited bulletproof. So, and they all know it. It's like got enough? Because someone's like, I'm out of bulletproof. I'm like, oh, no, you know? So we're all on it.
We'll keep you guys well stocked for sure, because I find the same thing with my team. Everyone who works for me gets a monthly supply of the coffee and the brain octane and the other stuff, because, like, how could I not have that?
Right? Brand consistent. I must share with the listeners, we do this really fun event with a bunch of healthcare experts twice a year. And we had, I don't know, maybe 60 or 80 of them. And we ran out of bulletproof. And I thought, I was like, it was like a freaking crisis. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, guys, seriously, just go, you know, go get some. Go to the coffee shop. No! I mean, it was like, whatever you do, Dave, do not run out of bulletproof at this
event.
I'll
be there personally in a few weeks making the coffee for people. And we brought a lot of coffee this time and everything.
Boy, who knew that they could drink that much? I mean, I was like, wow. You
know? Well, when you're at a conference too, it's, you know, your conferences aren't boring, but the average conference, you're at a hotel, you're indoors all day, and you get kind of groggy. I like to serve it at the events that I do, because people, they get all that, like, crazy mental energy. So then they're more engaged, which is, I think, part of it. People just don't want to feel blah when they're sitting there.
Yeah. Well, they don't have to worry about that at my events.
No, you keep things going. That's for sure.
Yes.
Well, JJ, there's a question that I ask everyone who's been on the show towards the end of the show. And that is, given everything you know, not just about diet or nutrition, but your whole life story, the three most important pieces of advice you'd offer for people who want to kick more ass. So people want to perform well for any reason, any way. What should they know? What can you tell them?
Number one, you are never better than when you're challenged. When what happened with my son happened, I had about 24 hours of an incredible pity party. And then I slapped myself and went, all right, this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to him and to me and to our family. And what do we need to do to make him recover 110%? And I believe that you don't necessarily need that kind of challenge, but we're never better than when we have that thing to aspire to. And so get it, and don't make it something, you know, make it scary. When I know I've gotten to a place where I'm not scared, I know that I've got to, like, go push a lot bigger goal out there. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, damn it, make time for sleep. The most important thing you can possibly do for your health is sleep. Sleep is it. So 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep, figure out what your perfect time is for that, and then make that one happen, because it's huge. And then I think one of the fastest ways you can change your health, I mean, I don't think one of the fastest way you can really change your health is by changing what's on the end of the fork. And so I think you really owe it to yourself to figure out which foods work for you and which don't, and quit blaming your symptoms on stupid stuff like your genetics or getting older. Your body's screaming at you, listen.
Thank you for that awesome advice. I'm really thankful you're on the show. You've got a lot to offer people, and your focus on figuring out intolerances is so totally bulletproof. Like those are the things that hold you back that you don't know about. Mm-hmm. And I certainly have probably a longer list than the average person because of my health history. But for me, figuring those out allowed me to go out and do a lot of the things that I wanted to do. So your advice and the way you've written it up in the Virgin Diet is very legitimate and very worth paying attention to. So thank you for doing that work.
Thank you. And thank you for making me coffee.
Anytime. Can't wait to see
you. And all your awesome stuff, which I do. I use it all. I'm the bulletproof babe. That's it.
It's totally true. In fact, we're going to have a special t-shirt made for you, JJ.
I can't wait to have you on the show again, maybe in about 6 months, but it's always fun to share knowledge with you. Thanks.
Thank you.
One of the things you can do to make your brain work really, really well is you can remove toxins from your body. One of the most important antioxidants and toxin-binding substances in the body is called glutathione. Glutathione has been available as a nutritional supplement for a long time. The only problem is that when you take it, it gets broken down in the stomach and you don't get the benefits of it. So about 10 years ago, we started making something called liposomal glutathione, which allows this precious molecule to pass through the lining of the gut, and it works. The only problem is that you have to have very, very small liposomes for it to work, and there's varying results from using different liposomal forms. That's why I created Upgraded Glutathione Force. This is a radical innovation in the glutathione world, small as it may be, because we use a patented technology that binds another molecule onto a liposome. So it's liposomal, but it absorbs in studies using this form of molecule up to 8 times better than normal liposomes that don't contain the added boost. That's why it's called glutathione force, because it literally forces the glutathione past your gut and into your blood where it can do the most benefit. If you look at the comments on the forums or on the product page, you'll find that a lot of people use it because it makes their brain feel crisper and clearer, not to mention the other benefits to your immunity and other systems in the body, which always run better when your liver is able to detoxify substances really well. And that's not even talking about what it can do to help you reduce the impacts of drinking too much alcohol. You'll feel better the next morning if your glutathione levels are high enough before and after you drink. Check it out. Upgraded Glutathione Force on upgradedself.com.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.